You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 4th of August 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today we're going to continue looking at the Patriotic Alternative Plan. I've just got a couple of announcements to make. First, I've removed some older content on the website. It's not really likely to be listened to now, content from 2016 2017, and it's mainly just news commentary that's been removed. And I've removed it because it's not really in tune with the way that we are now. Back then we were still being republished at the Daily Stormer, and the Daily Stormer concentrated a lot more on racial humour than we do here at Radio Albion. And also there are some words, terms, which are looked at in different ways in America to the way that they are here in Britain. And I don't want us to be accused of using racial slurs or anything like that, or using them in a hateful way. They've only ever been used in a humorous way, but I thought it best just to remove certain podcasts anyway. But as I say, I don't think people are likely to be looking for them today, 3 or 4 years later. Anyway, they were just really there as an archive. So that's the reason why some of the old content has been removed from Radio Albion. If anybody finds any stuff on the site that they think could get us into trouble or could be misused in any way, then do let me know about it so that it can be removed from there. We are quite serious in what we say in our disclaimer about what we are trying to do here, and we don't want there to be any questionable cases where we could be accused of not taking it seriously, our role here in providing the content that we do. Anyway, let's get back to the Patriotic Alternative Plan, the 25-point plan that they have produced. And yesterday we got up to what they were going to do with the economy and how they were going to free us of the chains of usury and debt. And we really need to be investing in our own country. We need to be self-sufficient, and we really should have nationalized banks. The banks were handed over into private hands basically about 400 years ago. And it hasn't really changed since then. And everything has been built up on debt. The way that the banking system works, if you take out a loan, the banks aren't legally allowed to loan you money from the savings that they have. That would be illegal. So what they actually do is they create that money. When you take out a loan, they create that money. And then they add interest on top of it, but they don't create enough money to pay the interest. You have to find that from somewhere. And of course, that interest is not there in circulation. So what happens is somebody else then has to take a loan out. And once they take a loan out, then there is enough money in circulation for that first loan to be paid back, the interest on that first loan to be paid back. So you end up eventually having a huge mountain of debt just to service the interest on the loan. And this is why in the Bible, every 50 years, there was a zeroing of debt, and everything went back to how it was. And perhaps that is a solution to the problems that we have now. We have these problems with the economy. We have these massive debts, which are impossible to pay back. And it all goes back to accepting usury. And they actually changed the definition of usury around about the 14th, 15th century. The Pope changed the definition of usury from being anything on top of the principal in a loan to just being biting interest, just being excessive interest. And of course, once he had done that and it was then okay to add interest, then you got this compound interest. Well, it's just a little bit of interest on there. And then people don't actually pay the loan back. They just pay back the interest and the debt remains for years and years and years, centuries in some cases. We've only just paid back the debt for taking out a loan to free all the slaves. Over 100 years later, we've only just paid that debt back. And unless people think, I don't want people to blame Catholics for the reason why there was this change in usury. The same happened with the Protestants. We had a king, I forget which king it was, and he made a law for the abolishing of usury. And basically, it was a law saying that people could add usury to loans. They could add interest to loans up to, I think it was 10% of the amount. And the way it always used to be, because of course people needed to borrow money, especially if they had business ventures, but the person that was lending the money was seen as a part of the business venture. If the business venture didn't succeed, say the ship full of goods and it sank at sea, the person that had borrowed the money wasn't expected to still have to pay all that back. Both the borrower and the lender lost out on that. And there were specific ways that lenders could actually take a percentage of the profit on a business venture. So you could borrow money and you would say, and we're hoping to make this much profit on it. And in return, we will give you this percentage of the profit. And that was the way that it was done so that people didn't get themselves into massive debts. Perhaps we could look at doing things like that now and ensuring that rather than banks just always getting paid back their money, if there is an act of God or something unforeseen happens, then the bank should be expected to lose out as well, because in a lot of ways it's in the bank's interest for people to default on these debts, because if they're just making the money from nothing, if they're just printing the money into circulation when people take the loan out, then when people don't pay the loan back, the bank can move in there and repossess the house. And then the bank actually owns something of value then, whereas before, and it hasn't actually paid out anything in commensurate value before it repossessed that house. So we've got some serious problems with our system, structural problems, foundational problems with the banking system. But because we've come so far down this road now, I don't know whether we could go back to how it was. But the idea of zeroing debt every 50 years, that will be a good start. I'm not sure what the exact plans are that Patriotic Alternative have for freeing the people of the chains of usury and debt. Well, next up, they talk about the judiciary and the legal system and how that needs to be freed from politically correct influence. And we saw a very, very visible instance of this just before Boris Johnson came into power, when the Supreme Court in Britain decided that they were going to prevent him from proroguing Parliament and being able to get Brexit passed in the time that the Parliament was prorogued. And they stepped in and said, oh no, he can't do this because he's got a second reason for wanting to prorogue Parliament. It isn't just that is the normal procedure when there is a new Parliament. He also wants to get Brexit through. But every time there has been a proroguing of Parliament for the last century, there have been other reasons for why the government have chosen to do that. The reason why the Supreme Court did this is because they wanted to put a stop to Brexit. And one of the main ladies that was involved boasted about that fact. She gave a talk, I believe it was at a university, where she was so very, very proud of stopping Brexit. And judges should not be political in any way. There should be no political bias in the legal system, in the judicial system. And we certainly do have this bias. When we look at prison sentences, for instance, if you look at nationalist prison sentences and you compare them to Antifa prison sentences, Antifa will just be let off and nationalists will be sent to prison for years for defending themselves. And I'm thinking particularly of the Dorset protests, the protests that went on in Poole against immigration, where there was a big dust up with the Antifa. And one of them was actually in court and he burst into tears and the judge just let him off. Whereas the nationalists who defended themselves, who went there to just to protest, but and were then attacked by the Antifa, some of them are still in prison now. I mean, it lots of people were sent to prison there. And that was, you cannot say that there was no bias there, because the number of people that were sent to prison from the Antifa side, I don't think there were any. I've got the same thing, the same problem in America. Looking at Donald Trump's inauguration, there was all that rioting, setting fire to things, and not one of them was sent to prison. So we need to look at the judges. We need to find out what their political biases are. Maybe they need training in not being politically biased. There's a lot of things that really deep rooted problems that we have that need to be undone. The Marxism that's taught in universities is a big one. The number of teachers that are dyed in the wool Marxists and that promote that is just unbelievable. I was listening to a podcast with Dangerfield the other day, and he was saying that it was just like a communist induction, basically going to his art history lessons or whatever it was. And we see now that right-wing speakers, conservative speakers, they get deplatformed at these universities. There are polls done that say that people that support Brexit or people that just support the Tories are too frightened to admit what their political allegiances are when they're at university. And yet the Conservative government are the ones in power. So we certainly need to enforce some kind of politically neutral stance in the universities and also in the judiciary. And the problem is all the people in the establishment, they've all been through the university before they get to their position in the establishment. So it's really, the roots of this are in the education service, and that's where the work needs to be done, so that the people that come out from university are more neutral and more balanced in the way that that they deal with things. Of course, the police need to be politically neutral as well. Rather than putting all these people through diversity training and white guilt training, they should be going through training to be completely neutral in these political issues. After that, they talk about foreign aid. There will be no more foreign aid because we are giving foreign aid to countries that have space programs. And a lot of the foreign aid that is given away just gets taken up in corruption. There have been so many scandals where money that has been sent to Africa that is meant to help out the people there, or aid that has been sent there, specific items that have been sent there that then end up being sold on the black market and just making money for the individuals at the top. It doesn't actually help out the nation themselves. And of course, the argument for foreign aid is, we give you this foreign aid and in exchange, we expect something back from you. And an instance of this could possibly be Turkey. Look at the foreign aid that Turkey has been given. And Turkey is supposed to stop the fake refugees coming into Europe. And of course, Turkey just takes the money and then lets all the foreign refugees loose into Greece. And that was only stopped because of the coronavirus epidemic. That was the only thing that put a stop to that. So we can't rely on these other countries to keep their word. We can't expect these things to be reciprocated when we give them this foreign aid. There's a lot of corruption that is involved. And all the while that we have our elderly that need care, we have the NHS that needs money, we have our own homeless people on the streets. I mean, it's a scandal that we're giving away 1 or 2% of the GDP every year to these foreign countries. I think it was David Cameron that brought this in, and he actually put it into law that we would give this amount of money away to these other countries. And surely it would be much better to encourage them to stand on their own 2 feet. And if you've got places that have drought or famine, they desperately need help, then perhaps we can help them. But the idea of giving away foreign aid to countries which can look after themselves, countries which said that they were at the stage where they could look after themselves now, and they didn't need the guiding hand of the British Empire anymore, countries like India, countries like Pakistan, well, they should not be getting aid from us, should they? We should look at it that civilizing them, bringing them transport infrastructure, telecommunications infrastructure, building schools, building hospitals, giving them our technology, that is aid enough for them. They should be able to run their own countries now. And if they're not capable of doing that in a proper and correct way, it's not going to help us but just sending money over there, is it? Especially not when we have our own people that need it. They say the government would immediately call for a full investigation into the ownership and operating practices of the mainstream media. And this is because the mainstream media is so important. It's not reporting on what public opinion is. It is structuring the public opinion. It's the originator of the public opinion. And a lot of our press is owned by foreigners. A lot of the press is owned by Arabs. Mainstream press, I forget which one, the Times or the Telegraph. And what we see happening is that the media is so powerful that it can hold the government to ransom, particularly in the Dominic Cummings case, where the government just wanted to get on and talk about what it was doing as far as coronavirus is concerned. And the BBC and Sky and ITV, they refused to allow the MPs to talk about what they wanted to talk about, and insisted we had to talk about Dominic Cummings breaking the rules, and everybody in the country wanted Dominic Cummings to be sacked. And this went on for about a week. There was one interview, I think it might have been the housing minister, Grant Shapps, and he was on Andrew Marr, and he was supposed to be talking about his housing policies. And instead, the whole half hour was Andrew Marr berating him about this Dominic Cummings thing. And I can remember at the time thinking, this just can't go on. This is just unbelievable. How are the government going to manage to break free from this? They can't give in, because this is blackmail from the mainstream media here. But how are they able to break free when you've got the whole media united in trying to push for this one thing, which was trying to get rid of Dominic Cummings? And that wasn't representative of the British people, because the second highest hashtag was scum media, or words to that effect. The first one was to do with Dominic Cummings, and the second one was scum media. Yet, who out of the mainstream media was representing the voices of the people that were hashtag scum media? None of them. The only people that were representing their voices were the alternative media, who, of course, don't have anything like the reach of the mainstream media. So that's one of the practices that needs to be investigated. The fact that they are directing public opinion rather than reporting on it. Another important thing about this is that journalists, when they sign up to be official journalists, they have guidelines. And one of their guidelines is, If you're reporting on nationalists, which they call quote unquote far right, they can't report anything positive about them. So you've got a political bias there straight away. You've got a term, quote unquote far right, that can just be used to label anybody whose politics you don't like. I mean, there's no specific definition of what far right is. It just gets thrown around at anybody that the mainstream media don't like. And once they've been given that label, then the journalists are not to say anything positive about them. They're not to quote them. In the articles that they do, they are supposed to get quotes from groups like Hope Not Hate and other left-wing extremists if they're going to be talking about nationalist groups. I mean, when Richard Spencer was interviewed, I think it was after Charlottesville, he did a press conference, and there was a British journalist there, and you could see they were furious that people were actually asking Richard Spencer for his opinions on things. And that's because the journalists in America were just trying to report on this. I mean, it's not to say that America has a better mainstream media than we do here in Britain, but you could see that the British journalist was visibly annoyed that he was actually being asked these questions rather than just being smeared in the media. So we have this massive political bias that is in the mainstream media. They have the ability to blackmail the government. They don't report truthfully on what the opposition has to say, because I would say nationalism, we are the true opposition. There is no difference between the Conservatives and the Labour Party as far as diversity is concerned. They all want to swamp the country with non-whites and breed us out of existence. I mean, this is the main drive of Patriotic Alternative, is that by the year 2060, the indigenous British people will be a minority due to the immigration policies of the two mainstream parties. So Patriotic Alternative and other nationalist groups, nationalist organisations, we are the only authentic opposition, and we are not given a fair voice in the mainstream media. We are just slandered and smeared and taken out of context by them, which is why a lot of alternative personalities just wouldn't speak to them. They just wouldn't speak to them, because we know exactly what they're going to do. And now we do have our own alternative media. Now we have access to our own websites that we can put up, and we can put our own content out there, and the people that want to find it can find it. And we've been throttled by the social media platforms. That's something else that needs to be investigated, is the social media platforms and getting rid of the political bias that is there. Perhaps that could be done alongside this investigation into the ownership and operating practices of the mainstream media. Next up, they talk about a full investigation into the grooming scandal. And again, this is really linked with the mainstream media, because they helped to cover this up. This wasn't a question of the Bobby on the beat deciding that he was not going to investigate the claims that were made by the victims. This came down from on high, possibly as high up as the Home Office, that these alleged cases were not to be investigated because they could heighten community tensions, and because it would give ammunition to the so-called far right. And that was the reason why this was all hushed up, why they weren't investigated, why the victims were treated as if they were criminals. Horus has done a very good series looking at this, which you will find on BitChute, based on the book Easy Meat, which is all about this scandal and just high up it goes. And at the moment, they've had an investigation into it, but they're not making the results of that investigation public. Priti Patel says that they are going to make the results of this public, but there may well be redactions. And don't forget, there were nationalists at the time that were highlighting this, that were trying to draw attention to this, and they were smeared by the mainstream media. They were called racists, they were called white supremacists, they were told that what they were saying couldn't possibly be true. And 10 years later, it was found that everything that they said was true, and there's never been an apology to Mark Collette. There's never been an apology to Tommy Robinson for not believing them and for slandering them. And still today, they're using this excuse of, we don't want to provide ammunition to the quote-unquote far right, by producing the results of this investigation. And again, this comes down to this political bias. There has to be neutrality in this. The police have to be neutral. The media has to be neutral. What they're trying to do is they're just stifling all the opposition and pretending that the opposition are somehow illegitimate. And we're not illegitimate. We represent the indigenous people of Britain. We are speaking up for the indigenous people of Britain. It is not about hating anybody else. It is about loving our own people and wanting the best for our own people. And we want the best for all peoples. And that's the way that you do it. You don't get the best for all peoples by doing everything for the other peoples. You get the best for all peoples by doing it for yourself. It's the same as an individual. An individual has to look out for himself and he has to look out for his family. It's no good the individual looking out for the family up the road and neglecting his own family, because who's going to look after his own family if he doesn't? Who's going to look out for the indigenous British people if we haven't got the indigenous British people looking out for us? If they're trooping up the road shouting about Black Lives Matter while we've got white grooming gang victims and while we've got white people being attacked in the streets, and the people that stand up and speak about it and draw attention to this, they then get called far right. And this is the real scandal, is the fact that we haven't got anybody that is speaking up for us, and apart from people like Patriotic Alternative, and when they do, they're delegitimized and they're called the far right. So we need a full investigation, no holds barred, into the grooming scandal, how high up it goes, who was involved in it, and if anybody spoke out against it, if anybody said, look, this is not on. We cannot allow political things to come into this. This is a horrendous crime that went on and it needs to be prevented. We can't just say, well, we're not going to prevent it because it might make people angry at the Muslims. And using that logic, you might as well say, well, we better not prosecute any crimes then, because it might make people angry at the person that's committed the crimes. So Patriotic Alternative are making this one of the points in the 25 points. There needs to be a full investigation into this scandal. Next, they talk about how all British citizens have the right to defend both themselves and their property. As such, those seeking to burglarise and attack others would suspend their own rights as soon as they undertook those illegal actions. So if somebody breaks into your house and tries to attack you, you will no longer be charged with an offence for defending yourself. And it's just incredible that we've had people that have been sent to prison for defending themselves when people have come breaking into their house in a home invasion. I mean, again, this would bring us in line with the sort of laws that they have in America where you can defend yourself. It's not like the police are everywhere in Britain. You cannot rely on the police protecting you. And that's the way that the law is here. You're supposed to just allow whatever to happen and then the police will deal with it. Well, that might have worked when we didn't have a multicultural country. And when we had a bobby on the beat and they could blow their whistle and there would never be another bobby more than, I forget how far away it was, 8 blocks away or something like that in London. That was the origin of the whistleblowing. I mean, it may have worked back then, but it doesn't work now. So this is another thing that is sort of tying Britain in with the best of what they have in America. Again, as I talked about yesterday with the free speech laws in America, I mean, Patriotic Alternative want to align the British free speech laws with the American ones. National service would be coming back, and that would entail a year either in the Army, the Navy, the Royal Air Force, or in care homes assisting pensioners, or those with disabilities, which I think is a very good idea, because this would break down this gap that we have between the generations. It would also teach people to be compassionate and be concerned about the people with the disabilities. And also it would be highlighted that these people are part of your extended family, the basis of nationalism, that your nation is your extended family. And also just learning that you could be required to defend your country, the discipline that is involved in that, in taking part in the army, the navy, the Royal Air Force. That's a really good thing. They still have national service in Finland, and it has served them really well. They have very low crime rates there. They are very patriotic there. It's one of the most advanced nations in Europe is Finland. Also Switzerland, and they have national service in Switzerland as well. In fact, everyone is required, every household is required to have a rifle there or some form of weapon in case they are called upon to defend their nation. And finally, the government should ensure that the British armed forces are both numerous enough and well equipped enough in order to defend both Britain's borders and territories overseas. But British armed forces should never be involved in foreign conflicts in which Britain has no interests, and should never be used as pawns for foreign powers. And really, we need our armed forces to be defending our own borders at the moment, not over there in Afghanistan, not over there on special ops in Syria, but we need them defending the British borders. We've had thousands of fake refugees coming in on inflatable boats across the channel. Massive increase while we've all been locked up in our homes with coronavirus. Nigel Farage has been highlighting this. And that's what we have an army for. We have an army to defend our country, not to go into other countries on an offensive, but to defend our own borders. And this is a specific case where the British armed forces should be involved. And unfortunately, they're not. So again, that's the final point in the plan. I think it is a great plan that Patriotic Alternative have put forward here. If anyone has any criticisms, they should make them. I don't really think it could be improved upon that much. A lot of thought, a lot of work has gone into this, and it's something that I thoroughly support. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.